are listening to Unchurched. That's the name of the show. My name is Rebecca. And we're going to be talking about taking church outside of the box. Mm-hmm. Does church belong inside of a box or does it belong outside of the box? I don't know. We don't know. We're going to find that out. We're going to delve into what makes church, church, and church things, and then compare it against the scripture, because that's what we do. Now, I want to ease some people's mind, and I also want to go into a journey with you on this, is that this is not a show to disparage the church. And when I say the church, I'm doing air quotes. I mean, like, capital church. I mean, the body of Christ. I mean, the universal church. I mean, like, the collective body of believers that profess Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's not what I'm talking about, because that is indisputable. What we're discussing on Unchurched here is church culture. And I mean church with a little C. I mean culture specifically. And now when you go from, like, place to place, you'll find that each church has their own culture, but there should be an overarching culture that inhabits all churches, because it's described in the Bible. And that's what I'm talking about, is like how the body of Christ in their church culture, is it reflecting the culture of, is it reflecting the culture of the world or the culture of Christ, or something else entirely? And that's what Unchurched is all about. Now, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I gave my life to the Lord at a very young age. I distinctly remember it. Now I've had people like go, "Oh, you didn't really accept Christ until you like reached a certain age." And I'm like, no. It is unmistakable when you meet Christ. And I will tell you this, because it was at that time, I was very young, but I knew that there was something wrong with me, because I had the hardest, I was naughty. I was incredibly naughty. And I distinctly remember just having a really hard time not getting in trouble. And I wanted to do good things, but I couldn't, I found myself not being able to stop myself from doing the things that I shouldn't be doing. And so when the gospel was presented to me, I was like, that's what I need. I need Jesus. And so I accepted and I grabbed it with all the faith that I could. And it was like a little light bulb went off, like flipped in my soul, like a light bulb switched, and I felt the change. And it was like clearly something different and something new had happened within me. And I found it a whole lot easier to be not so naughty after that. That doesn't mean that I haven't struggled, because I have. It doesn't mean that I haven't made mistakes, because I have. And it doesn't mean that I have fallen flat on my face into some very nasty mud, because I have. Because sometimes when learning how to do things and going through life, is that we make choices and we don't really, sometimes I think that there's some disobedience that happens, because we're living inside of a glove that, or a piece of flesh, this like thing that's this wrapper, basically a candy wrapper, and it's can be hard to learn how to get it to do what it needs to do, and or what I want it to do. And so, and I still struggle with that, and I think I'm going to continue struggling with it until I am free of it. But so I gave my life to Christ at a very young age. I have distinct memory of reading my little picture Bibles over and over and over again that were on my my sister and I, we had a little library shelf in our bedroom, and we had two picture Bibles, and both of them had words in them, but one had like really beautiful pictures and then just like little paragraphs about what was happening in each picture. And then the other one was definitely a children's Bible, and it had paraphrases of the stories like of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and then Jesus and his disciples and the parables and all that. And I had read through those many, many, many times. And then I would also read when I wanted to read something that wasn't in those, then I would go get the Family Bible, which was this big, huge, giant, like 10 or 15 pound Bible. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about. It had like the padded cover on it with like the gold lettering that said Holy Family Bible on the cover of it. And then the like the leaves, the pages on the ends of them had like this gold, like dust, this glittery like gold. And so it was kind of really super special to like read it, but and it was King James, and I would pull it off of the what seemed like a pedestal, but it was really just an end table that was a speaker for my parents' stereo system. And I would sort of pull it off of this the pedestal, and I place it on the ground on the carpet, and then I would open it up, and then I would search for the stories that I were in my picture Bible and in my children's Bible, and then read them in there. So I, at a very young age, like 8, 10, I was reading stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and looking for all the stories that I loved in the King James, in the KJV. And so I had so I'm comfortable with the King James version, and I became comfortable with it at a very young age because I wanted to read it. And you know, it's so funny because when you want to read something and you want to understand it and you're interested in something, it becomes a whole lot easier to engage with whatever medium that you're trying to understand. But yeah, so the church, however, that my family and I attended is that we went to a very small church. There were like 20 people in this church, and that included my family, that included the pastor and his wife. Now, the church was this teeny tiny little itty bitty thing on the south end of an island in the Pacific Northwest, and we would go every Sunday. We'd go in and do Sunday school in the morning before the service started. And so my sister and I, we were the only people in our class. So it was like our class, and then there would be like the baby class, and then there'd be the adult class. And that was pretty much it. But my sister and the room was so small that we were put into, like there was a window in it, and there was enough room for a table and like chairs on like one chair on one side and then two like little kid chairs on the other side. And so my sister and I would sit in this at this table with the Sunday school teacher, and she would like sidestep around the table because the room was that small to like sit opposite of us on the other side of the table. And then she would give us the lesson for the day. And then we sang from a hymnal, and the pastor's wife played the piano, and the pastor preached, and he was apparently a retired pastor because the church was so small. So it was kind of like the church that they send the retired church people to go to when they retire. And I don't remember it having an affiliation. I think it had like I found out one time what it was, and I think it was like the American Bible School or Sunday School Association, where it was kind of a missionary, like a home, like United States of America, kind of like home missionary type organization, where they went to small communities and did basically had church for very small congregations. And that's the church that I grew up in. And up through grade school, because in junior high, my family had to move because, and I'm not going to talk about this right now, but but my uncle ended up murdering his wife, which uprooted my family and caused us to move. And it's a long story and one that I will tell, but I'm not going to tell it today. We'll save that for a future episode. But yeah, so that's the church experience that I had. When we moved, my family stopped going to church because we had a family business we had to take care of. And so as a result of that, we were too tired when Sunday came around. My parents were to tote us off to church. My family wasn't excited about looking for a church in the new area that we were living in. And so, yeah, we stopped going. So there are some things that I missed out on. I missed out on Awanas. I think I went once because somebody invited me and it felt like vacation Bible school. But like it was a weekly thing and I was kind of abandoned by the friend that invited me. And so it was like there were a bunch of kids that I wasn't super uber familiar with, and it seemed like they were from school, and they weren't really interested in hanging out with me. And they were more interested in apparently, I guess there's badges associated with Awanas. I don't know. I didn't hang around enough to like figure that out. I missed out on youth group, so I didn't really experience youth group a whole lot. And when I was in high school, I had a friend that was like, oh, you're a Christian, come to youth group with me. And so I went to youth group and it was the saddest thing ever. And I don't mean this like terribly, but it just, so I was involved with like 4-H, and that's kind of like FFA, if anybody knows what FFA is anymore. But 4-H is like an after school club where you go and you play with your animals and you train them and, you know, stuff. 4-H has got tons of different after school programs. But when I went to 4-H, it seemed like everybody wanted to be there wanted to be there, and they were engaged and they were active with it, and it was cool. And it'd be like, oh, hey, a new member, yay, great, we're excited, and they want to talk to you about it. And I went to this youth group and it seemed like nobody wanted to be there, and it was the saddest thing ever, because I'm like, oh yeah, well, I like Jesus a lot, you know, so I'll go to this thing. No, it seemed like nobody wanted to be there. It seemed like nobody knew what the pastor was talking about. And I'm like, why would I want to come back here to this? I mean, it was just, it was so weird because, I felt like I was sinking through the floor while we were praying. It didn't feel like anybody knew anything. And, I just didn't feel comfortable with it, for one. It's not like I didn't want to go, because I did. I would spend time having theological debates with a Jehovah Witness and a Mormon every day at lunch in high school, because those are the kinds of things that I did. I was like, no, this is the gospel, and then we would sit there and talk about it and hang out. And so and they were nice girls and we had a great conversation, but it was just like, oh yeah, there's a distinct difference between Jehovah Witness and Mormon. And I didn't really find those out until later. But I didn't really get a good church culture experience until I went to college. So I went to college and I got involved with several after school, like not after school, I'm saying after school because it was like not during class. So I get out of class and then in the evening I go to these like church groups. And so there was like Kiwana, no, Koinonia Club. There was the Koinonia House, and then there was a couple of other ones that I would go to, and then there was this one that I really liked a lot. And it was, when I showed up, it was like the pastor, his wife, and they're like kids, and then there was the worship leader and his wife, and they didn't have kids, and then there was like one other girl, and then there were like four random guys. And at every Friday night. And it was like that for the entire year. And I guess that for the first semester, I didn't really show up a whole lot, but I said I did. And that's because I went home like every Friday that I wasn't there, just about, I went home. So, but I really dug into that because it felt, it was fun. We would go, we would sing songs that I'd never heard of in my entire life. And I'm like, these aren't hymns. I was like, why aren't people singing hymns? Because that seems like something that people would do. And they're singing, what's this song, Lord, I Lift My Name on High? That's so weird. What? Where do these songs come from? I've never heard these before. And so, and Shine, Jesus, Shine, and I don't know, some other random songs that actually have become really near and dear to my heart. But I remember sitting there, and I mean, that was church, and I was like, oh, church happens on Friday night. So for me, and so every Friday night, I would go to this place and in this little room with these people, and we would sing, we would worship, we'd hear the guy talk about the Bible and then encourage us in our faith, and then we'd pray and encourage us to pray and read the word on our own. And I was like, yeah, this is church. And so that's what I did. Well, after about a year of doing this, I remember the pastor, he's like, you really should attend church. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, that's what we've been doing here, is attending church, isn't it? And he's like, well, and he was like hemming and hawing because he didn't want to say no, but at the same time, he didn't want to say yes. And so he was like doing this like little, kind of like this verbal dance around it. And he's like, you really should find a church to go and attend. And I was like, oh. Well, and so because he was an authority figure, and I was like, all right. So I started to, I attended, like, I swear, every church in town until I found one that I ended up going to for the next like 7 years. And it really affected me a lot. And has impacted my life, not for the worse, but for the better. And we won't talk about that today. But that was where I really got my dose of church culture and interacting with church. And then going and visiting other churches after that. And, you know, if I wasn't there, I was like going to church on Sundays. And so if I was home, then I started going to church, and I was started interacting with church culture at multiple churches. And after a while, I discovered that there were some inconsistencies with what I was experiencing with the culture at church and what I was reading in my Bible. And it would be the same thing that what the pastor would be preaching, but for some reason, it was being lost in translation with the people around me. And I felt that there was, after some hard misunderstanding, after some really hard lessons, and God walked me through some really tough stuff, I came back around, and I have realized that there is definitely a difference between church culture and being a Christian and attending a church and being a part of, you can be a part of the church and the church culture and not be a part of the body of Christ. And that right there blew my mind, because why would you be a part of the culture and totally miss the boat? And that is what this is ultimately about, is that it blows my mind that you can be churched and miss what church and being a part of the body of Christ. So, oh, So the church, how do you become a part of the body of Christ, a part of the big church, the universal church, the collective body of believers? Well, Romans 10:8-13 says it, it's, I'm going to paraphrase it, but if it says that if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart, it says that you will be saved. And that right there, I believe, is the beginning of being a part of the church of Christ. Colossians 1:24 also emphasizes that Christ's body is the church. And in Ephesians 5:21-32, is that we're that being a part of the body of Christ is that we submit to each other, that we wash each other with the water of the word. Acts 2:41-47 talks about the early church. And I really don't think that there's to be a big, huge distinction between the early church, which happened in the early church, and what happens today, because they should be, because when we read it, we read that they shared their stuff, that there were signs and wonders, and they shared meals, and they praised God together. And I don't think that that is just for that time. I think that that is an example that we need to follow and has been being followed again and again and again in pockets and places, because there are places where that has been exemplified, especially in with some of the stories that have come out of communist Russia and other communist places, where we hear about the church and we hear about people who have survived that and who lived their faith through some pretty terrible persecution. And then, of course, Matthew 16:15-20 is the foundation for our faith. And that foundation is, I'll let you read it. I'm not gonna read it right here, but I think that these are good scriptures to go over. Part of this series is going to, if you want to listen, it's great. But I'm gonna ask, as a listener and as a participatory listener, that you engage with also reading the word yourself, because there is nothing that I can teach you any better than by reading the words for yourself with your own eyes, not just hearing them, but reading them. If you're able to read, then read them. If you have to listen to them, then listen to them. But I highly recommend reading them, and not just the little scriptures that I give you. I mean, when I tell you read Ephesians 5:21-32, I mean, really what I mean is to read the entire book of Ephesians and pay attention to chapter 5, verses 21-32. And I know some people are like, oh my gosh, are you freaking serious? Yes, I am. I'm absolutely 100% dead serious, because it's not just those two little scriptures, because that right there is that when we just take two little scriptures outside and we do not take it within the context is where we start to have some error, and where we start to misjudge what Paul is saying, or what the gospel is saying, or what Jesus is saying. Because I mean, I can say that Jesus wept, and without context, it's like, oh, Jesus just stood around crying. It's like, well, I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Oh my goodness, he cried. Well, if you don't know the context in which he cried, you'd be like, oh, he just sounds like a big wuss. Well, not knowing that it was Lazarus, who was a dear friend of his, also the brother of Mary and Martha, that passed away, and there were tons of people standing around just lamenting this guy's death. And it's right before Jesus walks into the walks up to the tomb and says, "Come out," there's so much empathy that Christ has with that, is that he's empathizing and he's sympathizing with the people who are mourning the loss of a dear member of their community. And if you don't have that context and you just throw out Jesus wept, I saw that the other day. Somebody just was like, oh, Jesus wept. And it was over something that was completely unrelated. And I was like, I'm not going to get into an argument with you about this right now because it is not that important. But you were taking that out of context. So that's my big thing, is that context is important. So when I say read a portion of the book or a couple of scriptures, what I'm really saying is read the entire book. Oh, yeah. Read the entire letter. I mean, Ephesians is not that big. It's only 6 chapters long. So Ephesians 5, 21 through 32. Colossians 1, 24. Acts 2, 41 through 47. And Matthew 16, 15 through 20. Go read those. Let's see. We've got a whole lot of other scriptures and stuff that we're going to be talking about. Our next episode is we're going to be talking about salvation. So what is salvation? And the title of that one is Unsaved. We're going to be talking about what is faith in another one. We're also going to be talking about worship. We're going to be talking about what it really means to know Jesus and know God. And let's see. Other stuff like that. I've got lots of topics to talk about that I really want to discuss. We're going to be building a foundation before we start getting into the serious church culture stuff, because if we don't have a foundation that we agree on, it's going to sound like I'm just attacking church culture just to attack it. And that's not my intention at all, because I've done that approach, because I thought we were on the same basis before and we didn't. And when I was talking to people in church about what they were doing, and it was like, you just don't like this. And it's like, yeah, you're right, I don't like it. And for good reason. And I thought we were talking on the same page, but I found out later, and after pouting to Jesus for a long time and having a conversation with God about it, I came to very wide realization that not everybody's on the same page, and that the people that you're sitting next to in church, you don't know them. I mean, how well do you know them? I've gone to church with people for 4 years and had no idea, still have no idea who they are. I say hi to them. We have a conversation every Sunday morning, about 15 to 20 minutes. But when I go home, but that's it. Over 4 years, and I don't see them every Sunday, and we're sitting there for an hour, we sing together, we listen to the same message, and then we talk for a few minutes afterwards. And after that, it's like we're gone. I don't know those people. I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't. That's barely a relationship. That's an acquaintance. I mean, we're not friends. Friends, that's not a friendship. That's not even a biblical meaning of friendship. Those are people I know. Those are acquaintances. Oh, yeah, I go to church with that person. That doesn't mean that I know them. So that's all right. Okay, so we're not going to go off on a big, huge tangent about that. But basically, that's what Unchurched is all about. We're going to be talking about church culture. We're going to be comparing the Bible. We're building a foundation to start with so that we know where we're going, and so that we can agree. Now, this doesn't mean that this is a one-sided conversation. This is an open conversation between you and me. And so if I say something and you don't entirely agree with it, or you don't like what I'm saying, or you're not sure about my position, because I do not like or use a whole lot of churchinese, church culture speak. I find that for me, I can speak it, and I can use all the coded words, because people do know what they are, but a lot of people don't know what those words mean. And so I'm not going to talk to just a few people. I want to talk to everybody. And so if I use it in language that most people can understand and can gather the meaning from, then we're going to have more success that way. So, but if you're not sure, because I'm not using right language, or you're not exactly sure what I'm saying, then write me a message. Send me an email, unchurched@unchurched.net. Say, hey, Rebecca, I want to know more about this. Or what do you think about this? Or I'm not exactly, you said the la 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 on episode blah, 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 and I disagree. Let me know, because I'm not afraid of conflict. I really am not. So tell me if you agree with something, if you don't agree with something, or if there's something you want to hear, or if you want to know a stance. I'm going to let you know right now that some stances I'm going to hold off on. I'm not going to jump into that, because we're going to build on a foundation first. And so if it's not a foundational issue, I'm not going to discuss it. But go ahead and send it to me, because I will put it on and table it for later. Okay? So, unchurched@unchurched.net. Thank you so much for listening, because without you, this podcast would not exist. And you're awesome. The Lord is awesome, and you reflecting his glory is awesome. And so be awesome. Read your Bible, and we will be back here next week with episode 2.